Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
to Under the Bus. I am your host, Pretty Bird, and that was the musical stylings of Shout Even Shy, singing a song by our very own Hatter, The Words You Cannot Say. I do love that song. And we are a team of voices, and you can find us on allpoetry.com, the world's largest online poetry site. So it is free to join if you want to hop on and come find us. The group is a team of voices, and you can follow along with the wonderful poetry that we are going to highlight this evening. So tonight we are talking about the masks we wear and the reasons why we wear them. And it's, for me, I don't think that it is about deception or anything like that. I tend to be a fairly open book, except for when I'm going through some stuff. And it's not that I feel any kind of shame or harbor any kind of like odd feelings about things that I go through. Everybody goes through all kinds of things. But for me, it's more I don't feel comfortable burdening other people with my nonsense. It's not that I have to deal with my nonsense, so I tend to not dump it on other people, which really isn't fair to those people who love me and when I self-isolate and hold all my stuff inside, especially when I pretty much are like, you know, I'm a shoulder. I've got great listening skills. Come tell me all about your stuff. And then I don't reciprocate. So it's kind of obnoxious that way. And I don't mean to be, it's just, I really don't want to burden people, but I know that it isn't always like that for others. Some people, and even me sometimes, I just, you know, it's easier to smile and move on and not get into things and not always share all your business. And for whatever reason, people just aren't always out there with all their stuff. And that's what we're talking about today, the reasons why and why we are so accepting of other people's problems. Yes, please do share. If you need a sounding board, I'm your person. But, you know, who do we turn to when we need a sounding board? It's not always easy to flip the coin on that. So tonight we have with us Mr. Raconteur. Say hello.
Hello. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. I am ready for the show. I'm all excited. I tend to talk a lot, so yay me. And we have Wayne with us as well. Say hi, Wayne.
Speaking of talking a lot.
Hi, Wayne. Hi, Wayne.
So
I told about mask. Is it
yes.
Right? Okay, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Oh, that's awesome. And, So what about you guys? Like, when do you tend to hold things close to the vest? Or I know, like, when I was in the corporate world, it's a completely different universe. And I really, as polite and kind and pleasant as I was, I didn't show any of my business to anybody because those people take it and fling it right back in your face. So, you know, there are different reasons to share or not share. But when you are going through something, whether you're upset or hurt or whatever the case may be, when you've got, like, real feelings attached to whatever you're trying to process, is it easy for you guys to share with your loved ones or anyone in particular, or do you tend to not burden people? And that question is for both of you.
I'm an open person. Go ahead,
Wayne.
Well, you may go ahead. Okay. Well, I'm pretty open about everything. I try to lead in my life where everybody can know what I do, and if they want to steal something, they can. But I'm pretty much open about everything that happens in my life, and that way I don't have to worry about who to, I told what to do. Because if they want to know something, I usually tell them. Sometimes they don't want to, they're not interested, but I tell them anyway.
You know, and I'm like that for the most part when it's neutral things or good things. But if I'm in pain or if there's like a little bit of depression, because, you know, we're human, we are not always jolly, I tend to not. If somebody's like, hey, you all right? What's going on? I tend to be like, yeah, I'm good. I'll be fine. And not be all like, well, today I had to literally drag my butt out of bed because I didn't even want to open my eyeballs because the world weighed 1,000,000 pounds on my shoulders because I can't process my crap. I tend to not dump that on people, you know? like for me, and that's what it feels like. I feel like because it's a burden to me that I'm going to burden somebody else. And that's not necessarily true. You know what I mean?
Yep. If you talk to somebody, yep. you get off your shoulders, you feel better.
Well, you know, yeah, but if it's something that hasn't been processed yet, if you need to wrap your mind around it and look at it from all angles, and it takes some time to do that, you know, it's...
Oh, yeah, I mean, basics.
Yeah, sometimes it just takes a minute. And what about you, Rack? Like, what are your feelings on that?
It depends on how well I know the person. I'm like you. If I don't know you, you know, it ain't none of your business. I'm not going to explain myself. I'm not going into it. I'm not going to reveal any or what, you know, just no. But, you know, if it's someone I know, I'm a little less guarded, but, you know, it still has to be kind of brought up gracefully. I don't just like launch into it either, because then it feels like you're fishing for pity or something. So, you know, it depends. You know? Yeah.
So,
I'm talking about when somebody says, "What?" If somebody looks at me and says, "What's wrong?" I'll tell them. I don't tell anything I do, but if something's wrong, I feel bad.
God bless you, Wayne, because it's gotta be refreshing, or to me it seems really refreshing because I'm so different, to be able to do that, to be like, well, you asked, now here you go. And I'm like that with so many things, you know, and I'm so honest that, or open, or both, that if somebody asks me a question, my go-to answer usually is, are you sure you want to know? Because I'll tell you. And then I'll launch into it. But when it is, if I'm going through pain or sadness, or okay, I'm just going to take something generic like grief. Like, you know, my mom passed a couple of years ago, and it's been a couple of years. I am good. I get through my days. Everything is fine. I'm going to say it's not that big a deal. In a way that I mean, it doesn't knock me on my butt every second of every day. But there are still moments, I'm sure there will be for the rest of my life, where, you know, I'm in the middle of something, and all of a sudden I'm like, you want to make that phone call, then you realize that, you know, she's not there, and it kind of throws me for a loop. And when it does, it doesn't matter if I push through, do the rest of the stuff. It's gonna weigh different on me, and I get kind of quiet because I'm not one to tend to like bawl all the time. And if it gets to that point, if it hits me that hard, I'm useless. Leave me alone. I don't even want to talk to you. But I tend to suck it up and do what I have to do because, you know, I'm a busy person and things need doing. But I'm quiet. And it sits on me in that shadow. And people will be like, are you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm all right. Because here's the thing. There are two ways and two general ways to listen to somebody. And guys tend to be fixers more so than girls. But anybody, guy or girl, there's usually two ways. And that is... you either listen with, you know, to just listen, or you want to problem solve and throw all these things at them. So I've gotten into the habit of asking when somebody needs an ear, it's like, you know, are you looking for comfort or are you looking for solutions? Because it changes how you respond. So if somebody's all boo-hooing about something, it obviously it matters a great deal to that person, even if you think it's like ridiculous, because sometimes, you know, people feel some kind of way about things that you can't understand why they're so important. But if somebody just needs somebody to listen, and that's all you have to do is, you know, give them a little comfort, tell them, you know, this too shall pass, whatever it is, you know, acknowledge their feelings, you know, to me, everybody is valid. There is no such thing as you shouldn't feel that. If you're feeling it, feel it. Don't necessarily act on it. Don't make decisions in the middle of your mess. But if you feel it, process it, think your way through it. And if it lingers and it's something you need to address, then fine. If it's like venting in the spur of the moment, it'll pass and then you can make a decision. So everything you feel is valid. I'm a big proponent of that because I grew up with people like, why are you crying? Well, you can't tell me I can't cry. I'm like six, you know? And so I am a big proponent of feelings, of everybody is allowed to feel however they feel. But when you're going through something that is hard to explain and it's therefore not easy to understand, if somebody's like, oh, it'll be fine with all the best intentions and you don't know that it is because you can't see the end of that tunnel, it feels like your feelings don't matter. And so it's, you know, I wonder a lot if the times that I self-isolate, and I don't even know it till I'm done doing it, which is kind of crappy. So to anybody who loves me or to all my friends, when I self-isolate, tell me I'm missing for a while because I don't notice. Okay. And but, you know, I don't know if I'm saving myself because I don't want to be made to feel smaller than I already feel, or if I'm saving them because I don't want to burden them with the weight that I carry. And so this was my question, like, why do we wear these masks? Why do we not trust so easily the people with our feelings when we absolutely embrace theirs and want them to trust us with their feelings. You know what I mean?
I do.
Okay, because kind of. Sometimes I don't know if I make sense. So, you know, it's a lot. Go ahead.
I very seldom ever feel bad. You know, if I have something going on bad in my life, I just kind of push it off to the side and go ahead and feel it and start feeling good. I don't have nothing really I feel bad about. I go around and hold it in until I'm all swelled up and want to cry. I just let it go. So,
you know, God bless you. And I will probably say that a lot tonight, Wayne, because you've got this wonderful, wonderful way of being able to discern those things. But like, you know what? This is a little too heavy for no reason. So I'm just going to leave you over there and deal with the things that are good. And it lifts you up. Like you have this way of lifting yourself up before you get way down in it. And I'm a little jealous, to be honest with you. I don't have that ability. I was never taught that. I tend to steep and wallow and ruminate and pick apart and analyze and put things back together, and then I can breathe. Well. So
somebody say, how you doing? Why not say, well, my mama died yesterday. They go, oh, no, I'm so sorry. I said, no, she had a good life. Don't worry about it. You know, something like that. I don't carry the burden of somebody dying or anything like that with me. He said, "Well, I'm going to be who I am," and I thought I hate to be gone, but I'm not going to feel bad about it. You know, it's kind of like,
I love you. I absolutely do. Here's the difference between you and me. Are you ready? When my mom passed, one of her friends called, and I, as soon as she started crying on the phone to me, I gave the phone to my sister, because as much as other people are sad, she was our mother. It is not my job, my sister's job, my brother's job to make people feel better about my mother dying. And because I was not in a place to do that, to this day, 2 years later, I did not even mention it on Facebook that my mother passed. And on my personal Facebook page, I know everybody. What'd you say?
You said just 2 years ago?
Uh-huh.
Your mom passed 2 years ago? Oh,
yeah.
Wow. See, mine passed in 2014. That's been about 8 or 9 years.
And I'm sure at times
I went to see her and she died in my arms.
But that's a beautiful blessing, you know, to be able to have those moments. At, you know, I was in the room when my mom passed, but she was not in my arms. But you're all like, yeah, she passed, I'm all like, it is not my job to explain my crap to you people. I don't want to deal with it. Goodbye, see you later. And it's not so much denial as me knowing that I wasn't ready, you know, that I didn't have it in me to be nice to people because they felt bad, you know. I'm all well and good. She was a great woman. You feel bad on your time, but I was so flabbergasted by when I picked up the phone and to this wailing woman, and that I couldn't even say words, or I gave it to my sister. My sister's like, "It's okay. Why are you making her feel better? You literally, your mom died 5 hours ago. Well, you need to mourn, you know." So I love that you are so matter of fact and so on the surface, and that is just such a wonderful attribute to have, because it makes things flow so much easier, where you're not stuck in these places that you hide from yourself or you hide from other people or you in this little bubble of protection because you're not ready to deal. You know, that is a beautiful thing. I mean, see, you're awesome.
I don't have any regrets with anybody. I don't treat you people, so it's my be easy.
You're
I don't
awesome.
Have any regrets.
There aren't many things in my life that I regret, and I don't ever regret my relationships with people, good or bad, because they all kind of teach you a lesson and shape you into who you are. But your ability to flow and release things is like magic to me. You're like a unicorn, because life would be so much easier to deal with on a day-by-day basis if people could do like you do and, you know, let things go. Even bits and pieces of release are better than holding on so tightly that your fists are bloody, which I tend to do sometimes. I am an imperfect person. It's all right. Now, Rack, how are you at letting things go? Like, what side do you fall on? Are you Wayne or are you Pretty Bird?
I frustrate the hell out of. I won't say nothing bothers me, but I kind of realize what's out of my control and don't let it bother me. So it's easy for me to let things go.
So I will say you are somewhere in the middle, because you analyze it for a minute and decide whether or not there's any semblance of control, and then you do your best to let it be what it is, because you can't change it. And if you can, then you analyze it to see if you should, and whatever other actions you need to take to be able to reconcile that. Yes.
Yeah. Figure out what the fuck I'm gonna do.
Yeah. Okay. So tonight we are talking about masks. We have a lot of SoundClouds tonight. So if you're not in a rush, Wayne, I would like to start off with one of those. And
I'm not in a rush.
Oh, you're awesome. I love that you guys are spending time with me. So what did I just do? I am messing up my own board. Hold on a second. Okay, copy. All right, I am putting Miss K up on the board. She is always so good. She, as soon as I put a topic board up there, she's always like the first one, and I absolutely love that. So I don't read any of the poems before my show, so I'm just as surprised by the wonder as everybody else. And I just opened up her poem. She's got all kinds of awards for this thing, so I'm all excited. So do you guys have it up already?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Awesome. I'm going to go ahead and play it, and here we go.
So the topic is about masks that we wear. We all wear a mask for one reason or another, and it's usually because of certain situations that have happened in our life, people who have come in and destroyed faith and or trust as to how we view things and how we let people in. So sometimes the mask that is worn, I think, is more so because of those elements, and it's not because that person is trying to be cold, even though it may seem that way to some. I definitely have learned through the years that the mask that is worn is one to guard my heart and guard myself, because with the situations I've been in ever since I was a little girl, and the people that I've known and or let in, especially family, they kind of tore it all apart in their own way. So as I've gotten older, I've learned to be more quiet and keep to myself. And that's not necessarily a bad thing if it means you're just keeping to yourself, because then you're not putting yourself out there around people all the time. So I call this Frozen Tune. The broken song of me, a brass band soliloquy, corroded and rust threatens. A pastoral patchwork unknit in her pearls of knots. Encapsulated bitter pills souring the inner self. Seaside home in turquoise, cabanas her aquamarine shell, homeless of beachcomber sands. Broken and bone china mosaics bloody in the feet, rather than incantations in an icy breath. Little girl lost of porcelain flesh. Child of a thunder and hailstorm who might fall in the shallow waters. If the ice broke, tippy-toe around the ice. Shatter and cracks beyond the surface dwell her abode. A blossom and swimmer through sojourns. Above a cold world, steep in the reeds, the poisoned seeds. End poem.
Okay, so a few things. First of all, I absolutely love that she joined the discussion on masks and gave her side of what that looks like, and because she didn't have to do any of that, and so I appreciate that like nobody's business. That is a wonderful thing. Thank you. I consider that a gift. And you're right. It does offer protection from, especially if we've been mishandled in any kind of way, and we learn our lesson that you know, sometimes our truth, our open and honest truth, garners responses that are both unacceptable and what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word I'm looking for because my brain is not working. But you know, it surprises us. Like they're unexpected. Thank you. Okay, because my brain is a little slow today. And I love that that she brought that up, because I don't think we touched on that yet. That, you know, it can be very much a defense mechanism, and it's a nice and quiet way to do so. It's not a hurtful thing. It is not, you know, somebody, you know, hurting somebody to save yourself. It's just sometimes you need to be a little bit guarded. I absolutely understand that. So about this poem, I almost cried at the very first line, because the broken song of me is such a beautiful and painful notion. It resonates with me in ways that I cannot express, but you have lines in here that are just fragmented and glorious. The broken song of me, the brass band soliloquy corroded in rust threadings. I love that. Encapsulated bitter pills souring the inner self. And I am the unfortunate queen of negative self-talk, so I know what that is. I know what that feels like. I know that nobody that I currently keep around me fills me with negative things about myself. The only person who does that is me. And it is hard to hear people saying good things, because if you don't feel it or can't see it in yourself, it's hard to not have that feel like platitudes or lies, even if you know better. So we tend to poison our own spirit sometimes. And little girl lost, the porcelain flesh, child of a thundering hailstorm who might fall in shadow waters. And that is a wonderful way to wrap a tumultuous childhood. This is stunning to me, and it is emotionally breathtaking. So thank you for sharing this. I cannot even tell you how beautiful I find this. I am saving it to a list. And Wayne, what are your thoughts on
this? Yes. Yeah, I'm kind of cold, I reckon. This is sad. Kay went through so much when she was younger. It's hard to get the scars behind her. To get away that sometimes people hide behind the mask and not let nobody see what's happening and try to hide. But I know it's hard, but you have a life ahead of you, and you should not deprive yourself of living to the fullest, or the villain wins. You got to get behind you, and you got to live your life as though you love your life, and then they lose, in my opinion. But, you know, I'm pretty hard, cold-hearted.
So what happens, Wayne, when, as an adult, you end up being your own villain, that you're taught all of these ways that you're not good enough, and regardless of the logic behind your life, and that you know that that's not true, and you know that you're a good person, but it's in there, it's ingrained in you. Those things you learn as a child stick in you like barbed wire. And
I never had it.
So you don't, that, yeah, you, you are awesome. I'm like the queen of
shadows. I'm not as good as anybody at anything, but I just feel like I feel like I've lived a good life, and I did the best I could, and ain't nobody going to put me down, because I did better than most people did, and I worked hard, I did good, and I got over things that happened bad, I got over it when I hit living.
You are a joy. I am just telling you right now, you really, really are. You're like a breath of fresh air, and it's wonderful. And for those who don't know you or are just getting to know you on air and through your poetry, Wayne, sometimes, because you always have a smile on your voice, and it's for me, when I first started listening to you or hearing you on the shows, you know, years ago already, I was like, oh, he's always happy, and it didn't register as real as, like, is he on something? Is he drunk? Is he what the heck is going on? Because nobody's that happy all the time. But the fact that that smile in your voice is genuine is my absolute favorite thing about you. You know, you're welcome. And even when you write poems, and you have poems that break me in two, and when you talk about them, you are in the moment, and as soon as you're done talking about them, boom, your smile is right back. And I wish I could just, you know, channel a little bit of Wayne, you know, because it is a beautiful, beautiful way to be. And I'm racking for. What are your thoughts on the poem and the discussion and everything.
You grabbed the two lines that I really like best about she kind of describes herself a little bit with the brass band, you know, that was a beautiful metaphor that and very emotional to me, that conjures up images because bands are loud, youthful exuberance, but then she's further describing it, and she's got it rusty and everything, so, you know, how it's falling apart. It gets added into that image. So it's layered upon layered. And then she adds to that, you know, just a little further on about the growing up in thunder, right, however she put it, was beautiful also. So that sets up the rest of the environment in which she, you know, more or less survived. So, you know, all these masks that you talk about are self-preservation methods, I think. So that it just comes out very beautifully in the metaphors that she used. She tied them together very emotionally and very well.
I absolutely concur. I put her on my list. This is easily one of my favorites from her. I mean, it just resonated from that first line, and I love that. And that's probably my favorite thing. Okay, I love poetry. Now, having said that, I'm a little picky with things that I pull into myself. And while I love things that are well written, to me it's all honest emotion over grammar any day. If I can feel it, then I am all over it, and I can feel this. And there's a bonus of it being beautifully written, and so it just like ticks all the boxes for me. And so I absolutely love that. I do. And I am not the most elegant writer on the planet. I tend to be jagged. I tend to, you know, kind of flay things open and like lay my guts on the table and be like, yeah, I know it ain't pretty, but it is what it is. And people either love it or hate it. And I'm good with that. And, you know, people will take from any poem what they will. And every time they read it, whatever mood they're in, they're going to find something different. So if it resonates at all, that is beautiful. And so I find words to be so fluid and so like a lava lamp, actually. Oh my gosh, what a weird metaphor. Yep. But you know, if you take a brevity, like a little two verse poem, and you read it for the words that are there, they'll either touch you or they won't. But if you go back when you're angry and you read it, or you go back when you're sad or happy, or you're going to catch all these different colors in there, and it's going to touch on memories or feelings or little things. And so the more you look at it, the more it kind of flows into other things. And yeah, I have a love of words. I really, really do. I also have not a whole lot of love. I'm kind of a grammar Nazi, not a horrible grammar Nazi, but I am, you know, like if I read a book, like I have a pencil with me with every book that I read, and I will in the front cover write down the pages and then circle all the mistakes. I'm like, nope, this needs to be a semicolon. Nope, because I am that, because it bothers me. I'm like, if you're going to get something edited and it's going to be published like in a publishing house, then, you know, there's a certain standard, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm that kind of obnoxious, you see. And but I do love, but it's because I love words, you know, that I want them to be the best they can be. And oh, here's a little side note of absolutely nothing. My 15-year-old was talking to his friend when they were on the computer, and apparently he's going to start writing a book on one of these little app things that they have on the computer, where I guess everything you write just kind of goes up there and whatnot. And I was like, I'm happy to look over your stuff. And he looks me dead in the face. God love this child. He goes, I don't write like how I speak, because the written word. And he's just going off on me like in a very nice, very, you know, I know how to write, Ma, kind of way, that I was kind of really, really proud. I was like, that's my boy. So I'm all excited. He hasn't started yet, but when he does, I'm just going to be like, woohoo. So more power
smart
to him. Yeah, he is, you know, smart and lazy, and the boy doesn't like to do homework, but he's a weird kid. And I have a poem here by Titus, and he is kind of fabulous. Good. He has an elegant way of being that is far beyond the way I write, like far beyond. He's got this kind of old world voice in that he's both elegant and eloquent, and the things that he says or the way he puts things are stunningly beautiful. And he's like the king of fabulous metaphors and continuity, because he can keep it going from tip to tail in a poem, where I'm lucky if I can keep something going through a verse. So, but before I put him on the board, I believe we have Hatter with us. Hatter, is that you?
Jay Hatter. Is.
Hi, Hatter. I'm glad you can join us. And I'm about to put Titus up. Now, Titus actually has a tribute poem that he has been saving for me. So I'm going to go ahead and put that up. And I'm not good with any kind of attention or whatnot. I'm not. So I might get a little bit uncomfortable just because I don't know what to do with myself. But he wanted to make sure that I played it. So I'm all excited about it. And let me know when you see it on the board.
I see it.
Awesome. And when it's done playing, because there's a SoundCloud rack, would you run comments for me? Because I don't know how to run comments on a tribute for myself.
You got it.
You're awesome. And if I can find it, here we go.
For your kindness, pretty birds. Your gracious words of heat praise upon my own. Perpetual motion, how lovely words are stirred, reminds me how freely we envelop each other to be close. While far away, a lurid stung cover, tapering words would discover our pretty birds. Youthfulness, as of now, we're happy in clover. Beyond dreams where poets do evolve rarely, yearning such time, for I am more the giver, remakes of love's dutiful heart, treated fairly, deft to touch, this to share our minds a quiver, helps with a sigh, this, as your signature dish, auspicious nature, it shows us how awesome, platonically, our love has someone to cherish. Poets who genuinely gauge the rule of thumb, you'll find best a listener, while I simply wish, venerable lady, such words as these meanwhile are for you. Love but holds a gaze such leisure, letting go like this without the threat of pleasure, either in ways one is accustomed to your smile. Nothing on earth could replace what is yours, the voice of what I believe is that of an angel. In passing did I stop and listen to, for so long next to forgiveness, the clearest conscience girl exists within these words of love with a song. Sincerity of heart, your precious words unfurl.
Isn't that just beautiful? Aw, I love that it's an acrostic. I love the, just like I said, everything he writes is so elegant. This is full of it's full of friendship, and it's just there's this hint of romance in there. Not, I mean, we're friends, but
yeah.
There's just the way he writes is all wonderful and romantic, and his words are just delicious, and he makes me sound so lovely. I just like I want to be that girl. You know, it's just, you know, thank you, Titus, so, so much. This is truly, truly beautiful.
Yeah, that was awesome. I like you said about being an acrostic. I liked that he didn't he resisted the urge to make it into a what do you call it? We each one is a an acronym. He resisted the an acronym, and he didn't like use that style. He stuck to his traditional he gives that feeling, and I guess I don't have to tell you, you probably get the same impression, that like being at the Renaissance Fair, I could see him sitting there with a lute, or something like that. And his voice, he talks to everyone. Talks about your voice, they hear your voice, But I think, a couple of the guys, him included, have that same effect. When he reads, it's got that style to it. I think back almost to black and white TV, the idea of like Vincent Price or Alfred Hitchcock, kind of a, those type of craftsmen. He really just pours himself into these things, and as far as being a tribute too, he's got all the I'm painting with a broad brush here, but he is talking about a broad, right? No, just kidding. This is beautiful. It does show his friendship for you, and respect, and that's what the group's tagline, in love and respect. So I think he really, really gave that to us. What'd you think, Wayne?
Well, I think it's very lovely. And he makes a person, when he reads his words, they seem like going to daydream, because his words just float around real perfectly. And I'd be proud about you, Pretty Bird, because he did good on it. Pretty Bird, Happy Valentine's Day was the message. And this has to make you feel good, because when he speaks, it's magic. When he speaks, it's a great theme. It's a great theme, because you are amazing. And I like it a whole lot. Mm-hmm. It's probably perfectly balanced, too. If you look, it's perfectly balanced. And he had a good thing to write about. So when you got something good to write about, it's easy to do. He did a good job.
he picked a good subject, right?
A great subject matter.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. Us guy, we can't imagine you looking in the mirror and not saying awesome. What do you think, Ada? How'd you like Titus' poem for Pretty Bird?
What can you say? I think you set it up. You said it right. It is so eloquently said. It's good to know that the platonic love is out there and alive. And it sounds a true relationship, respect. Couldn't ask for a better friend. It's just remarkable how he writes.
Awesome. And
thank you. I fully concur. Like he just starts, and especially when he puts out the fancy SoundClouds with the music and everything, as soon as he starts to speak, he just kind of commands an audience. And I get that it's a SoundCloud, but sometimes you can do other things and listen. But when he starts, you just listen, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I that's. One day I hope to be as compelling or anywhere near as compelling but it was lovely, just absolutely lovely. And so thank you again, Titus. And back to the masks we wear now. We have talked about protecting ourselves. We have talked about protecting others from ourselves. We have talked about it's nobody's business. There's all these different reasons why we may not be fully open. And they're all valid reasons, and they all weigh differently for everybody. So I was wondering what your take, Hatter, since you weren't here for the opening discussion, like what your take on masks are. Like, do you protect other people from things that you might be going through because you don't want to burden them, or do you protect yourself from things other people might say, or What are your ideas on masks?
With those definitions, I would say I would. It would be hard for me. I don't want a pity party. I'm not that kind of a person. I don't. If I go out of the cave, it's to check. I leave it here. It's to check it at the door. I would be considered very private in that way. I would say. People see what they want in me. It's sort of amusing sometimes what they think they see or who I am. Yeah, I don't share a lot. I'm a better listener. If I call you friend and you need somebody there, I will be there. But I don't reciprocate in that same manner a lot.
Having to wear masks.
Yeah, if somebody says they don't wear a mask, they're lying to you. They don't realize what they're saying because when you're at work and you're with you're a different person than you are when you walk through your front door. That's true.
You are different at home. You're different at work. Different at. That's true. That is absolutely true. And also, I think when it comes to work, your position at your job. I mean, if you're the boss, you're not going to be an emotional wreck. That is not who your subordinates ever need to see you to be. And but when you walk through your door at the house, if you're going through something, you're going through something. So I absolutely understand that. And I'm a lot like you, Hatter. I tend to welcome. My shoulders are open. If you need to purge and I call you friend, I am your girl. Here I am. But it takes a lot for me to not to feel comfortable because I'm not uncomfortable, but for me to unburden myself because it feels like in order for me to share, I have to then place some of that weight onto somebody else, and that the notion of that makes me uncomfortable, and it's unfair. It is an unfair thing because when you love somebody, all the friends that you call family. If they're going through something, you want them to know that you're going to be there and you want to be able to help them through things. And if they choose to let you in a little bit and share their stuff, it is an honor to be chosen because it's almost like a gift of trust, that they trust you with these things that they're going through. So on the other side of that, if you feel honored to be the person somebody goes to, but you won't honor them the same way by sharing your stuff even a little bit. I self-isolate, and it's probably one of my least favorite things about myself because it's not like I am superhuman and don't ever need anybody. It's just I don't know how to. You end up strengthening yourself because you have to through whatever circumstances, whether there hasn't been anybody there, whether people make fun of you for the things that upset you, whatever it is that started that self-isolation where you don't want to burden people, usually starts really, really young before you even know it's a thing. And as you go to an adult, you tend to not believe that you need to purge, but it's really hard to not have a place to unburden. And I'm not just talking, normal, angsty venting because, it's easy to vent, but things that matter, things you're worried about, it's hard to share that or place that on somebody else. It's not always the easiest thing. So I completely understand how.
Careful what you wish for, too. You might think you want to share it.
Yeah.
Well, when you get burned, when you trust somebody, and I either trust or don't trust, if there's no, I kind of trust, let me test the waters. You either trust or don't trust when it comes to me. If I trust you, if you have proven yourself trustworthy and I tell you something and it ever comes back to me, it breaks me. It breaks my ability to trust myself. It changes the relationship, even if it is something tiny. If it was not anybody else's business and somebody's like, hey, a little birdie told me, and they touch on something that I shared with like one person, I don't know what to do with that. It literally breaks my brain and sends me into a deeper isolation. But now who do I trust? If I thought I can trust so-and-so after all this time and I was wrong, then what else am I wrong about? And then I have to, you know, get over myself, because not everything has anything to do with a little tiny seed. But it's a process, and it's a painful process, because every little bit of broken trust weighs like you know, a mountain. So it's not easy to want to, you know, share, or it's not easy to share regardless of how much you want to. I mean, it takes a lot for some people. And so I was telling Wayne, because he's like, if you ask, I'm going to tell you. And then, you know, instead of letting it stew or burden himself, he's like, well, this needs to just blow away with the wind, and I'm going to move on to happier things. And, you know, I think I've told him like times already, just God bless you, Wayne, because I would love to be able to do that with any tiny semblance of ease, because I think that every day would be a lot easier if I didn't have to overprocess things in my brain and not let anybody know what I'm going through. And go ahead.
Sorry. Well, I think about you know, you trusted somebody let you down, because you lost. You shouldn't hurt you, you should hurt them. You know, you trusted somebody, that's what you're supposed to do. And so if they messed up your trust, you shouldn't feel bad about yourself. You know, you found out that somebody you could, you know, that somebody you couldn't trust. But if you didn't do anything wrong, you trusted the person. That's what you're supposed to do. They always, there's going to be some people that don't think you're trusting serious, but, you know, you did the right thing, but trusting them, they don't want to mess up, you didn't.
Have I said that I love you, Wayne? I love the way you see things, because, you know, a lot of us, through whatever our environment is, learn that, you know, everything's our fault, or, you know, you're not good enough, you're not this, you're not that, and even when you logically outgrow it and look back at things and see that they make no sense and all of it was wrong, it's a hard thing to unlearn. So you ask yourself, why? You know, why did this happen, or why did you allow this to happen? Why did you not see that this was the thing, and how could you not discern?
Right.
So to understand.
That happened to me big time. My wife, I couldn't trust my wife. I thought I did, but I couldn't trust her after 40 years. And so it's, I don't know what you're going through, but I just kind of accepted, you know, she's a crook. I didn't do nothing wrong. She did. So I didn't worry about too much. Just I wouldn't trust her no more. But, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. She's one to validate our trust.
You know, it's a beautiful thing that it is this one thing, this one person, this one event, it's this, and you don't extrapolate that into everything. I think a problem a lot of people have, me included, or me especially, you know, whatever, I tend to take this little thing outside of what it is, and the little box of truth that it is, and extrapolate that into everything. And then once I pick it apart after putting it under a microscope, I can put it back together and put it back in its box. But that's a long and painful process to be able to see that closer to the problem before it embeds itself in yourselves is to me, it's like a miracle. It's like, it's awesomeness, because I overprocess everything. So back to these masks. I have Rack on the board, and he has the SoundCloud, so let me know when you guys have him up.
Got it.
All right. Awesome. And here we go.
Facade by Rack and Tour. If I were to disappear, would you shed a single tear? Through affected smile, you call me dear. Yet when we're alone, I can't get near. You mock me with your false concern, recoil from my touch. Voice disdain with your indifferent gaze, yet pretend you care so much. You regard me as your plaything, not caring about my heart. The longer this continues, the further we're driven apart. End poem.
Well, that's a poignant little brevity, isn't it? From the picture on down through every word. And the notion that you start with is, you know, if I'm not here one day, would you even cry? Would you notice? And to be in any relationship, friendship, whatever it is, that question can even be pondered is heartbreaking. You know, that to have somebody that you care about play this game in public, everything looks great, and then, you know, behind closed doors you don't exist and you're in the same room is just, it's a hard experience. Even if the person isn't a significant relationship, if it has the potential to be, if you are at all friends and it shifts for whatever reason, it is heartbreaking. And I know oftentimes relationships ebb and flow, and a little shift here, a little shift there goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where people self-isolate or they're just not ready to unburden things. But this long-standing I'm going to call it, well, you said disdain, so I'll use disdain, and indifference. It wears on you. It makes you wonder who you are, and it makes you feel small, and it breaks my heart just contemplating it. So it's a powerful, powerful brevity. Heather, what are your thoughts on Rex's poem?
Yeah, I think I remember this. I think I remember this one. That's very deep. I remember a time when I figured the more people I had in my life, the more disappointment there was.
Yeah.
And it hit on that a little bit. Yeah, the strike against you.
Now,
so vulnerable
what,
and apart at the same time. Yeah.
Now that disappointment, if you don't mind me asking, was that people were that you felt were disappointed in you, or that you were disappointed in them?
I was disappointed in them.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
how
people were talking to me about other people that I know they considered and talked to them as friends. You know,
yeah.
What do you say about me when I'm not here? Like, Jesus Christ, I think he was your friend, you know? That kind of thing. That's why I ran to the hills for 5 years.
It's hard when somebody has proven to you as a friend, like proven themselves, and you kind of love the essence of who they are, and they're these great people, and then things get a little ugly, something happens, and you hear all this stuff that doesn't line up with who you know them to be. That's also painful. Every time somebody lets you down in even in theory, it weighs, like it holds weight and lingers, and it's quite unfortunate.
When the contradicts it.
And Wayne, what are your thoughts on Rex's poem?
Yes. Well, she's putting on a show, and you know what's going on, so it has to be up to you to make the next move. I'm not sure I'd handle it, but it's a problem, but I would have a lot to do with the knife and a shovel. But no, I'm just guessing. See, good luck putting her in place, but it could even be more painful by you saying anything. So you got to figure out which way is the least painful for yourself. You know, I don't know how to do that. Just good luck with that, because it's a hard problem to solve. Because if you do anything to her address, she's going to be gone. Then you'll have her at all. So I don't know if it's no answer to that one. It's going to be good. It's just a bad problem all the way around. Good luck.
Absolutely. A knife and a shovel. Oh, my goodness. You know, you always surprise me at some point, Wayne, you know? That's one place
to
put her, that's for sure. And
I put my poem in somebody else's room tonight, apparently, so I looked over and it wasn't in there, so I went ahead and put it in there, but I put it somewhere. I don't know where I put it, but I hate for them to read it. But it'll be all right.
Well, it's in the right place now, Wayne. You're so funny.
Yeah.
I went ahead and put Gerald on the board. He also has a SoundCloud, and then I will go to you, Wayne. So,
no, I'm in a hurry.
Oh, we
Gerald,
have
Gerald's
Lady
great.
A. Hold on a second. I believe it's Lady A. Lady A, is that
hello,
you?
Hello.
Hello. How are
Lady
you?
A.
Not too bad. I tried to go to bed.
My arch nemesis.
So I'm awake, and I thought I would call. It's late here. It's 1 o'clock in the morning here.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm sorry you can't sleep, but I'm glad you could join us.
I didn't get to listen to the first part of the show. I hope everything's going well for you.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole lot of talking about the masks we wear and, you know, are we hiding from other people or from ourselves or are we protecting ourselves from other people or protecting other people from ourselves? You know, it's a whole giant cloud of mask wearing. So all interesting stuff. And
Sounds really good, too.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. And so I'm hoping to continue the discussion because it fascinates me. People fascinate me because we all go through these different factions of this at different times. And sometimes in the span of a day, we go through many different, you know, factions of what we show people. And everybody has a slightly different view because we all have slightly different experiences. So, you know, it absolutely fascinates me how a concept can be so wonderfully broad and so intricate and personal. So, yeah, I kind of love the discussion and apparently I can't talk anymore, but I love the discussion and learning about the way people view things, because you know we tend to get comfortable with how we see things. So you know, getting other people's takes on the same thing is really a wonderful eye opener. And there's just so many different ways of being and existing that I'm just forever fascinated. So for our next mask poem, I have Gerald on the board. And let me know when you guys see him, and I will play his SoundCloud.
I see. I got it.
Awesome. And here we go.
The Mask, written and read by Gerald Green. The first night, I kissed an aging spot on her cheek before turning off the light and moving to my side of the bed. This opened a new chapter in our healthy relationship, putting distance between us. When my eyes closed, I still saw her on her back, covered to her neck while the window air conditioner whirred. Her beauty couldn't be seen, was distorted by a medical mask to control her breathing, a machine to nurture sleep. The doctor said she would now have more energy in the morning, no more fatigue caused by something called apnea. She used to cuddle against my back for warmth. I'd wake during the night reassured. Now I'm alone, as if in preparation. End poem.
You see, I love where people take things. Like there are always these different views on everything. And I don't know if you guys have ever slept next to anybody that wears these sleep apnea masks. They are a little scary. You take a little bit of getting used to. The first couple of times somebody wears one next to you, you roll over, if your eyes open and it's in your face, it can freak you out a little bit. I ain't gonna lie. So I understand that there's no real cuddle space if you're used to being in there, because you've got these big old tubes that are putting that air pressure in there so that they don't stop breathing in the middle of the night. When my husband wore one for, I don't know, 10 years, and then he lost a lot of weight. Now he doesn't have that problem. He would stop breathing like, I don't know, 127 times an hour. Like it was like ridiculous. Like he was constantly like would stop, and then he would snore himself awake. Like he would just, and would through his nose. And I was like, you need to go see a doctor. And they put him on this thing. And I called him Mermaid Man because he had the one that went over his nose, but not over his mouth. And I don't know if you guys have ever watched SpongeBob. You look up Mermaid Man. It's kind of like an old decrepit Aquaman, but he has a starfish over his nose. And it just cracked me up. But I love this poem because there's this sense of loss and longing and separation. Even though he's still right there, it's just not quite the same because of this mechanism that is going to help her live better days with more energy, and she's not going to be so tired, but there's a little bit of loss in the process as well. And I thought it was wonderfully depicted in that sense. Lady A, what are your thoughts on Gerald's poem?
Yeah, I have to agree with everything you've said. The only thing that I have to add to it is you know, he of course he writes from his soul, and the last stanza, this is what I got out of it, was, she used to cuddle against my back for warmth. I'd wake during the night reassured. Now I'm alone, as if in preparation. Like, it's like it's anticipatory grief for the loss of his wife, not only because of the sleep apnea and the CPAP that she has to wear, but perhaps there's an underlying illness there, because I'm alone, as if in preparation for when she passes on. That's what I get out of this. And that's really hard to take when you're going through this. You lose, oftentimes you will lose your spouse well before they actually pass on, because life is just not the same as it was because of illness. So I think that he was brave to write this, and certainly an open book to allow us in to see that part of his life.
Oh, that is lovely.
Could just be a poem.
It could just be a poem.
Hope so.
And Wayne, what are your thoughts?
Yes. This is a sad poem. Whenever you got a good part of your life changes, it's rough. And to have someone sleep with you and comfort you at night, and all of a sudden they're gone, you know, you miss that cuddling, and you got both of them going through a change. It can't be pleasant. He needs to hang in there, because life is strange, and good luck. Because I like to say, cause it's no really answer to that either. He's got to deal with it. Good job. Good poem.
And Hatter, what are your thoughts?
This was deep. I was lost for words for a minute or two. Joe has a way of coming at you when you're not expecting it in that direction. I love the way his mind thinks, sort of out of the box. This is very moving. I can only imagine. I love the word, when you said creating, putting the distance between us. That was a heavy line.
Yeah,
that's a big change.
Absolutely. And Raconteur, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like the point of view from this, because he's reminding us, you know, the masks you're talking about are more emotional. He's bringing that physical aspect into play, and pointing out about how a mask is a barrier, and you know, physically, you know, it does what it does, but also it affects the intimacy and the emotions as well, because of the distance that he's talking about. So the mask has more meaning and more, you know, function than is kind of apparent. It's almost like a stigma when you have to, you know, when you get it, the sign of aging and the approaching eventual failure of you know, whatever's going on with your health. It's contemplative.
Absolutely, it does, and it lingers too when you read it. It carries weight and kind of stays with you a little bit. Dear sweet Wayne, I love you, Wayne. I opened up your poem, and this is a PG-13 show, so I'm thinking that it belongs in the naughty room.
Yeah, I don't think I said anything bad. I don't think I said anything too bad, but I just kind of didn't want to make sure. But I don't think I didn't know cuss words.
It's the implications of
the implications. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Now
you can read it. No, we don't need to read that loud. You can read it. See what I think about mask. And it's a little humorous.
It does look like a very fun piece, and I will absolutely comment on it in detail. So I appreciate it absolutely.
I thought it was still naughty, but I didn't know it was naughty.
So I appreciate that you understand. You're kind of awesome. Now,
well, I understand.
Had her drop for a minute, so I'm going to wait to put his up in case he calls back, because I would love to hear him read his piece. Lady A, do you have – oh, you do. Sorry,
yes, I
just refreshed my page. I got excited. So I'm going
to
pick
it's
you
not
up
a
on
fresh
the
right, but it's to the point of wearing a mask, a facade, you know, that some people have.
Absolutely. I can't wait to hear it. And you are on the board, darling.
Okay. So this is called Facades Crumble, because eventually you can't wear the mask all the time. And there are people that wear masks to fool other people. And so here it goes. It's called Facades Crumble. Venom drips where lips once kissed. The granite replaced your heart. Poison spills where words were killed. Silence, your arsenic dart. Grotesque image of what was envisaged. Ice flows through your veins. Cruel phrases spewed fiery rages. Flames become memory's chains. Bitter pills where once were thrills. Foul is the taste and the stench. Guilty of smug pretension. False pride can never be quenched. Dark are nights where joy took flight. Thief robs evenings nonchalant. Brazenly speaks out of turn. Facades crumble, fall, and haunt. Secrets destroy, kill all the joy. Best companion a pen. Writing a healer, cathartic revealer. Comforts when comforts there's none.
You know, I like the darkness in this, the shadows, the depths of betrayal. I mean, from the very beginning, your venom drips where lips once kissed. That is about as perfidious as you get, where love turns on you in ways that poison your veins. And I love your rhyming cadence in this. There's an easy flow to it that kind of carries through. And because of that, it kind of softens those dark edges just enough to be easily accepted, because I'm kind of the queen of, you know, blood and guts with emotion, and that doesn't always go over well. But this is different. This resonates and is extremely relatable. Bitter pills where once were thrills. Foul is the taste and stench, and boy, can you burp that up for years, can't you? I mean, it is there, and that I love those lines, by the way. Foul is the taste and stench. Love the vividity of that, the flavor of that. Like, there's no denying how sour and acrid that is. So I very, very, very much enjoyed this. And Rack, what are your thoughts on this stenchy piece? Hi, Lady A. It's not. It's lovely. It's lovely. But I do love that line.
No, but
go ahead, Rack.
You know, stench is a really good word, though, don't you find? Like, I do.
There's no room for mistaking it for something else, you know?
Yeah.
It's beautifully descriptive, like your poem. See, I had a quip already, and now you made me forget it.
sorry.
No, that's all right. That's all right. You don't need my glib responses. I mean, you dressed the darkness up beautifully and took it out on the town. You did a great job taking the emotions and like Pretty Bird mentioned, you couched them in these beautiful images that are deceptively revealing. You kind of made us feel, you know, the pain behind what you're talking about. There was a couple of metaphors that I really enjoyed towards the end, and also the rhyming, like Pretty Bird mentioned too. The flow was kind of, you know, sing-songy at a couple of points. You almost wanted it to bop along with it. You did a great job with this. I really liked it, Lady A.
Thank you very much.
And Wayne, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I think this is a very elegant poem of lost love. The dark bitterness that stands out very well, and it's very poetically written. And the man has definitely pissed you off, and I will loan you my knife and shove up the rackets with it. He's such a fiend. Very, very good job on this. He did a good job, a lot of meaning in it, a lot of emotion. Good job.
Thank you
so much.
Awesome.
And let's say hello to Deb. Hi,
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hey, Deb.
Hello. So we just got through reading Lady A's poem, and she did a fabulous job. And we haven't talked about the mask aspect of her piece yet. Actually, Lady A, we have not. And so tell us all about how when somebody pretends to be, or you believe them to be, this person, this kind and caring person, and they turn into this snake. Like, what's that like when you realize that it was all smoke and mirrors, that they were wearing this Prince Charming mask and whatnot?
Well, you know, when you're first hurt like that, it does hurt. But then for me, this particular piece, like, I was really angry. And that, I think, a better emotion to deal with than being hurt and crying in the corner, you know what I mean? The anger pushes the adrenaline to high gear, and you have an opportunity to, I think, sort it out better and to go away angry, I think makes you stronger than if you go away brokenhearted.
I can absolutely see that. I think that anger, a lot of anger is pain, to be honest. And all of that kind of comes from love. If you didn't care so much, it wouldn't hurt, and you wouldn't feel so betrayed and wouldn't be so angry. So it, things that start off beautiful that are unfortunately cracked and twisted by other people, they teach you a lot. And when you can love after that, and when you can trust after that, that is that phoenix rising. That is you being above that trauma and pain. And however that process looks, it comes through how it comes through. Everybody processes that differently. But yeah, after you have yourself a bit of mourning of how can this be, when you kind of barricade that pain and build it into something that helps you stand up straight, I think that it is all good things. I mean, okay, all good things, so long as anger doesn't make you want to stab somebody in the throat, because, you know, there are limits to how good anger can be. And so what are your thoughts on the masks we wear, Deb? There's been so many different sides of it that we've talked about today. Like for you personally, or in your experience with other people, do you find that people wear these masks, and not so much falsehoods or anything like that, but I tend to self-isolate and protect myself from others, but also protect others from myself. I tend to not burden other people with my junk, because if it's a burden for me, it's got to be a burden for everybody else, regardless of there not being any truth to that. So what are your thoughts on the masks we wear, and how what do they protect us from or protect others from?
Sometimes I think they protect us from judgment or pity. And sometimes we wear them to not be Debbie Downer, to look like it's okay when it's not. And some people wear them to look or act better than they really are. And some wear them in front of people and then jump out of the shadows at you when nobody's around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's really hard to, even with your closest friends or family, it is hard to just experience what you're experiencing emotionally speaking, because not everybody understands. And people, especially, you know, I love my family. I really, really do. But each one of us is a piece of work, and we are not the most kind of people to each other. And if you're feeling down about something that somebody may not find a big deal, then they have no qualms about making you feel stupid about it. And that's an unfortunate thing. And family tends to blow it off like it's nothing, more so than friends do, you know, in my personal experience. Because, you know, my family is they're a group of interesting people. And it's hard to not feel like you're going to be made small, and you stop at some point wanting to share things, and then it kind of becomes a way of existing, and it's unfortunate, because whatever it is that all of us are feeling are valid. Feelings are valid. However you feel about a certain thing for whatever length of time, you have a right to feel that way. And who the hell is anybody else to tell you can't, to be honest? Because they're not living your life. They're not experiencing your experiences, you know, and sometimes it's easier to move on and let go than it is at other times. I personally overthink the crap out of everything. I overanalyze, I absorb things, I pick things apart before I can then put them back together and move them aside. And it's, you know, admittedly not the best way to be. But I completely have kind of wrapped myself in the way I think other people might react to things I might be going through. And so I gauge myself according to what company I'm in, the mood they're in, what I think they may say, and what I think that I can tolerate in that moment of whatever emotion I'm feeling. I mean, it's like this whole algorithm of I think I'm going to stay quiet for a while. And maybe it's just me, because I tend to be a little analytical, but everything kind of ebbs and flows, and there's scales that, you know, of what we can tolerate and not tolerate for ourselves. But I find more often than not that we are more than willing to then listen to everybody else's stuff. No, we may not be willing to necessarily have people listen to our stuff for whatever fears or whatnot come with that from our experiences. But it's easier to let somebody unburden on us, because, you know, feel free, just go ahead and talk. Go ahead, let it out. We'll deal with whatever we're dealing with. And that's easier sometimes, or a lot of times, than it is to feel that naked ourselves in front of somebody, regardless of how much we love them. Or it could just be me, because sometimes, you know, I'm a little left of center. I admittedly, I want any thoughts on any of that?
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Have you ever, any of you that have children, grown adult children, have you ever discussed anything with your kids that is real importance, and told them how you felt about a certain situation or happening in their lives or whatever? Have you ever revealed yourself to them in a certain way, or do you always remain the mother?
For me in particular, I mean, but I'm going to let everybody else answer that question first, because I tend to talk a lot. So since that's an open question to everybody, feel free.
Yeah. Whoever has kids, like grown kids that are old enough to talk to you, if you know.
Yeah, I've got older kids. I got an older kid. I talked to him a lot about some of the things I thought he was doing wrong, because he turned into such a greedy person. And I sit down and talk to him and say, "This, you can't do this because of this." But it didn't end up sinking in. He's more or less he's stuck in his ways. I think once they get soldiers, stuck in their ways, no matter what you say. But you can still voice your opinion, let him know how you feel. But as a, you know, my son's pretty much a
have
person.
Have you ever revealed yourself to them by saying, "This hurts me,
we was close.
How it makes me feel"?
We were
like
real close.
Yeah.
We revealed everything to each other. We told everybody everything about each other. He thinks it's good to take money from people at disadvantage, and to steal their money. And I think it's good to give money. So, and he don't like, because I give money. I don't like because he steals money. So it's kind of two ends of the pole. And he's not going to change, and I'm not going to change. So it's kind of like we don't talk a whole lot anymore.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a hard transition.
He's 48. Yeah, he's 48, and so, you know, he's a pretty old guy, but. He's just the way he is. He wants everything he sees. His whole goal in life is to take something away from somebody. It's his only goal.
Well, I have been told on numerous occasions that when I try to talk to my girls about certain things, they absolutely do not want to hear any of it, and say that that I'm selfish to want to discuss my feelings. They're not interested. Have told me we're not interested in your feelings.
Oh man.
I will say this. I have nieces, and my nieces are grown. Well, my youngest niece is like 20-something. My older niece is 29. And I have a son in his 20s and then younger kids. And I find for myself, I tend to process life through my own experiences, and I try to relate to them through things that I've gone through that may be similar. Having said that, depending on the mood each one is in, my youngest niece is much more, she wants to say her piece about her piece, and either she needs comfort or and understanding, and if she wants an opinion on it, she will ask. If I offer her in particular an opinion or any kind of guidance, regardless of how much I may have experience in the thing, the second I open my mouth, she shuts down. She's like, this isn't about you, and because she is very much, she needs to be heard. And she needs to feel like she's heard. And then when she's ready to ask, she will. But she's the only one that I have to do that with. I have to wait for her to ask, or I'll ask her. I was like, you know, I have a little experience. If whenever you're ready, just let me know, and I'm happy to share that with you. And that's not my normal way of being, because I tend to be like, oh, experience, I've got to share. And she is really not having it. Like, she gets really, really, really offended. My son and my oldest niece, they're more like my oldest niece. She will talk, and I'll be like, well, you know, I can tell you something that happened to me that's similar, and she'll be like, all right, and we'll have a normal conversation about it. And my son, usually, if he's going to talk to me about something, he's not very open. He's very shy. He's kind of very quiet, but he is always ready to listen to something I have to say, because somewhere down the line, this child realized that I have some kind of wisdom. I don't know how that happened, where it happened, and how he's the only one who ever realized this, because, you know, I know some stuff. So I like when he comes to me, because we share, and he asks questions, and that's like my highest hope to be able to deal with my nieces and nephews and sons. But you know, sometimes it's just not that way. People need to process the way they need to process, and when they are sharing something that is about them, they just need it to be about them until they're ready to process any other input. And like I said, my niece gets really pissy about it. Like, she will be like obnoxiously butthurt, even though we're just trying to help, even if we don't push it, you know. So that's my personal experience.
Yeah. And they have come to you Sorry?
No, go ahead. Wayne was asking if his mic was on. I told him it was. Go ahead.
What I'm saying is that I recognize how they need to function, how they're so different than I am. I'm an open book. I want to talk about things. I want to talk things through. I want to get it resolved, you know, fix it all up. And they're not like that. And I understand that, and I respect that. And they expect me to respect that, of course. And but having it reciprocated just doesn't happen. Like, if I am to respect them and accept them as they are, shouldn't it be the same on the other, like, towards me? And it's not. Like,
it never will be. There's something that happens with parents. that they're as you can be best friends with your kids, but you will never be equal. And some people need a bit of separation. Sometimes it's the parents that need to be able to constantly parent their kids, and sometimes it's the kids that need the separation from the parents in that kind of emotional dialogue. There's never an expectation for the kids to treat the parents like they're an equal confidant. They fit a role, and whatever that has grown into over the lifetime experience of the relationship, it kind of dictates where that's going to be, and it ebbs and flows from birth till the end. So there's always room for change, and there's always dialogue to be had. If you need to talk about something, and you go to one of them, and you're like, look, I really kind of need an ear. If you don't mind, if you can, you know, and if they're not ready to do that or see you that way or want to have that conversation, then they're not ready, and it hurts.
Yeah.
But when we have our grown kids and we send them out into the world to be their own people, you know, the goal is that they can sustain by themselves and that they don't necessarily need to lean as much. Now, as a mom, I always want to be needed. I always want to be able to you know, be that mom where I can be in there and, like, offer a helping hand or some insight. You know, that's the hope. But that's that. I don't think I'll hold my breath if that's going to happen for all of my kids. You know, and it's unfortunate. And my relationship with my mother was a different person. I thought she was somebody else my whole childhood till I was 16 years old. And then when her truth came out, it shattered whatever I thought was my childhood. And, you know, it changes things again with the masks people put on, because, you know, with your kids, they don't need to see trouble and strife and emotional discord and all that stuff. You tend to shelter your kids so that they have a nice round understanding of good things. You want them to look back on their childhood and feel loved. And you don't need to burden them with, you know, all the horrible things that are in the world. And, you know, sometimes that needs to be their truth longer than others. You know, people see what they need to see until they're ready to see the truth. And which is
interesting. I know what you're saying. I agree 100%.
Right, but
the
saying. Interesting thing about
I feel like there's just this tremendous, it's tremendously one-sided. It's like they're not
they
interested
can be.
In what I
and it's unfortunate.
And I feel guilty after I'm trying to feel like this isn't about you. You know, like I hate that line. Like
I understand. So. I do, but. We only have a half hour left, and I want to kind of get back to, we have more poems to read. I want to get back to the whole mask aspect. And
right.
And the conversation that we were just having led me to realize another aspect of that, of where not only do we mask things from our kids or our kids obviously hide things from parents because that is their job as a kid to see what they can get away with for half their life. And at what point do the people we raise grow into who they are and who they're going to be? Like, is that an ever-changing process? And how do they become free from the masks they've worn from us and their friends and everything else? I mean, that process is, I mean, I guess it's just growth and everybody has to go through it. But it's an amazing thing and a very intricate thing to ponder. But I'm on the board right now to get back to the show. I've got, and I'm hoping I pronounce this right, it's a Seth Borden. And they have a SoundCloud, so let me know when you guys see it. You guys see it on the board?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, here we go.
masks. The mask we wear holds us back, keeping us heading on the wrong track. Shrouded in a world that's black, we don't let anyone take the slack. Blindly struggling until we crack. Sharing is something that we lack. Why do we all wear a mask? Opening to each other isn't a task. It's warming like a thermal flask. For help, all you need to do is ask. Simply take off your beloved mask. I know you try so desperately to hide the demons that you fight inside. To understand, you think I haven't tried. You think in me you can't confide. Try pull me away with the tide. Make the distance between us wide. But let me tell you, I can't abide the mask you wear in order to hide. Shows you don't like what you see. You don't want to reveal to me who you don't think you should be, who you won't let out to be free. You think the world won't want to know the real you you don't want to show. You think in this world you won't grow if you let that mask you wear go. But my friend, this simply isn't true. It's exactly what you need to do. You need to let me really see you in order for me to ever see me too. Most days you put on this cover so the turmoil no one will discover. But if you let the world be your lover, connecting will help your soul recover. Trust me, if we no longer concealed, the me in you can be revealed, and we can all begin to be healed. End poem.
Okay, first, I love her voice. And I love an animated read. I love the stress she puts in some of these lines that kind of pulls you through. This is the first poem that I've read or heard of hers, and I think it's absolutely perfect, because I've talked a lot tonight about not wanting to burden others and where it becomes unfair to be willing to do so for others and not willing to let others do that for us. And this is kind of the answer to that from the other side, where they're like, I'm here for you. Just let it go. I don't be afraid. And there is a lot of fear in that. And this was just lovingly written and a wonderful, wonderful view of it, and exactly the side that I didn't know I was hoping to hear, because I'm, you know, those of us who tend to hold things close to the vest and not share everything with everybody that way tend to not look at how somebody else might take that self-isolation or that quiet, and it's just that this it just feels like love that they just want to share. Just please let me help you through it. And I really appreciated that. And Deb, what are your thoughts on her poem?
Well, for starters, I agree. What an amazing voice. I love her accent and the poem. The mask we wear holds us back, keeping us heading on the wrong track. And on that, I feel that one, because when you're hiding behind a mask, you're not really being yourself, and that's pretty stifling. And if you surround yourself with people that need you to hide yourself, you're not doing yourself or them any favors. so this was really deep, and it had great rhyme. And towards the middle, you think the world won't want to know the real you and don't want to show. You think the world won't grow if you let the mask you wear go. I think that there's an extremely powerful message packed in excellent rhyme and flow here. And it's my first time hearing and reading her as well. Great job.
I think you're absolutely right. There's a lot of fear in wanting to show your true colors, so to speak, and maybe it's a little bit of fear of rejection, fear of being, you know, shoved down and made small and or laughed at or judged, and why put yourself out there? It's safer this way. But there's you can't grow in a bubble, you know. In order to you know, unfurl those wings, you kind of need room to do that, and you have to allow yourself that space, which is a lesson I need to learn, because Lord knows I am really tight in that bubble and gasping for air sometimes. So this was a wonderful thing to hear. And Wayne, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I think it's a great poem, a great in rhyme. She's so matter-of-factly, like, you know, she knows exactly what they should do, that, you know, it probably scares some people back into their mask, into their stuff worse, because she's so matter-of-factly saying, this is the way it is. You don't need to listen to me. But it's she's a great poem, great voice, and a wonderful poem. It had great meaning to it. I like it a whole lot, and I think it's what people need to hear. But it may scare some people.
She reminds me a little bit of you, only with a softer glide to her words, where
right.
She's just like, you know, I'm here for you. Let it out. Let it go. It's all good things. And I kind of really like that message, because I don't think we hear it enough, just at all, anywhere that I have come across. We don't hear it enough in ways that permeate, you know. So it was lovely. And Rack, what are your thoughts?
Good. Yeah, she read this with a lot of emotion, like you said. You could hear that sense of, I guess, exasperation in her voice when she posed some of the questions that she did. And, you know, it was kind of clear that, you know, she doesn't like the mask. She doesn't like the idea of wearing it. And she doesn't want anyone to have to wear it around her. You know, she wants to recognize that condition, that it's safe to talk to you, that you don't have to hide or pretend. You know, I want to be there, and, you know, the only way to do that is if you let me in. So she did a great job illustrating that, too, the closeness and the way a mask can literally come between two people.
I absolutely concur. And Lady A, what are your thoughts on her poem? And I think it's Sass Borden. I mean, that's how I would pronounce it. I mean, I have no clue. I'm horrible with the pronunciation of things. But what are your thoughts on her beautiful rhyming piece?
I thought it was very honest. I think we all wear a mask in most of the time. Sometimes, if you have people who want to fool other people, for sure they wear masks. But I think we all wear masks because we don't really want people to know the deeper side of ourselves, you know. And she's asking everybody to come out from behind their mask and be real. And I think you have to have a safe environment to be able to do that. I thought the poem was well written. I think she was almost pleading with us to, you know, drop the facade and be ourselves. And I think that, anyway, I could talk on that for quite a while, but I won't. But I thought the poem was very relevant, and it was very honest. I guess it's the best word to use. It's a really honest piece of writing.
And that's the beauty of poetry. The more it feels true, the more easily it permeates others. And yeah, I absolutely love that.
Now, Miss Deborah Lee, I have you on the board, but before you read, if we can go through the announcements for the week, that would be awesome.
Tomorrow, personal prompts are about the elements, earth, wind, fire, water, and there's three prompts for each. You choose a word bank. You choose a photo to go with it, and then you combine it. Actually, there's two, sorry. And you combine it into one poem. I've got really, really awesome photos, and you have to use 13 of the word banks. And then Rack may have already pushed his or might want to push his own. And then Lady A's here for hers.
And my simple thought, seize the day.
And that's seize the day, carpe diem. And my mind goes right to Dead Poets Society, I'm just saying. But that's an awesome concept because Lord knows I don't always seize anything. So there's a lot to be said for those that actually can. So that's interesting. And the elements are always so vibrant because it's people get pulled by different things. Like I am definitely a water baby, but there's power in the wind and flames just kind of regenerate things. And so that's going to be interesting too. And Lady A, you're on Wednesday?
Yeah, I'm on Wednesday. Will be with me as well. I haven't talked to her. She's been quite busy. I haven't talked to her of late, but I have to get my topic up. I haven't got it up yet. It'll be a variety of choices to make, hopefully.
Yes, she
awesome.
Does.
And then Sweet is on Thursday at 9. I don't think she has a topic up yet. And what's going on over the weekend?
For one thing, Lady A, you do have a topic up. Sky already put it, The Mysteries of History.
She did?
She did. She put up like a month ago. And
well, we did do that. That's right. Yes, I forgot.
Yes.
So you're so
and,
far ahead of the game.
Yeah, she's always ahead of the game. And then
I thought
what was the topic?
That was a month ahead. That's right, too. Yes.
And that's a special time that Wednesday at 8 p.m. rather than 9 for Lady A and Sky.
Yeah.
And then on Friday at 11 p.m., it's the Man Cave with Stephen and Hatter. And with fingers crossed that nothing happens to change either one of their schedules, they want you to turn yourself into a superhero. What superhero would you be and why, type of thing. And on Saturday, Hatter AP and I are asking the question, where'd all the frogs go? So frogs is the prompt. I was saying on the show that when I was little, after the rain, you would see earthworms in the puddles and you would see hop toads everywhere. Now I never see frogs, and if I do, it's stuck to the front door and it's some tree frog that's a little bit confused. So what happened to the frogs? Where are they?
They all came to Florida to torture me in my phobia.
I have frogs that come in the summertime when I have my deck furniture out with the cushions and stuff. The little ones come and they get in underneath the cushions of the seat and they stay there in the evenings. It's like, okay, night.
So they all went to Canada or Florida. Is that the deal?
Yeah, they like the wetlands.
Yeah, I just wanted to, if I could, just send a blurb about the show for Wednesday night. We had done this last month, and I was thinking it was going to be a weekly or biweekly thing. But in any case, we did have it prepared last month, and I had forgotten about it. But it's The Mystery of History, and it's going to be I think there's five artists that I had picked out. and did some research on, and then Sky is brilliant in putting it all together to display it and promote it. So the artists are listed there, and the pictures are there. History of each artist is there, so you can pick one to write about, and hopefully we'll have a good, interesting show.
Awesome, awesome. So check out the topic boards for all these excellent things this week. And we have a caller, 907. Who's calling, please?
It's Liquid Damage.
Ah, hi, how are you?
What's up, Linda?
I called back.
Hey, Linda.
Yes, you did,
Linda,
and I'm so glad you did. we are still discussing masks and all that good stuff. And I'm sorry, Wayne, you asked her how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. You know, it's painful, but, you know, you deal with it. That's all you got to do. Keeping it elevated and on ice.
Can you walk? Can you walk
no,
around?
I have to use the chair.
Oh, my God.
The rolling chair.
No, that's bad.
Yeah, it's going to be rough for a few days.
Yeah, I'm glad you're in good spirits, and I hope that you feel better soon. And 2 weeks isn't so bad. I mean, it's better than six.
That's right. And I'm inside because of the snow anyway, so.
So there you go. And Deb is on the board with her poem about masks. And if you would read for us, Deb, that would be awesome.
Okay. My poem is called Red Cherry Lipstick. Force his lips to fake a smile. Here we go. Tangerine raised him today, so periwinkle hues show gray. Then clouds hover, and they stay. Fighting the shadows as they creep, laugh to hide as two eyes weep. Bite plump lip to swallow the screams triggered by the stomped daydreams. Plastic mask to dress tonight as the blues in me ignite. The opal light inside me drains, powder dusting wet salt stains. Now cover the frowns on this face that the finger's tip can trace by sketching the smile in the space and pull.
Well, I feel every word of this, Deb. I absolutely do. That picture, by the way, is stunning because you are just like the queen of images. But, to powder those tears so nobody sees and bite plump lip to swallow the screams triggered by the stomp daydreams, it breaks me. I will probably linger on this long after the show tonight because I kind of have been living in this place for quite a bit, and it is unpleasant. But you wrote it beautifully, and it kind of pulls on me, like it pulls through my skin in very real ways, and just wow, it's I'm glad you wrote this and brought this tonight. It's while I wish I was not in good company in this place, it's always nice to not feel so alone in what you're processing through. You know what I mean? I hope that doesn't sound all like
absolutely.
Okay, because I don't want to be all insensitive and weird the way I word things, because sometimes my tongue knows not what it says. But I'm glad you're feeling me. So Liquid Damage, what are your thoughts on Deb's poem?
Well, Deb always writes such deep, beautiful, alluring pieces, and this is no exception. The words were beautifully, beautifully lined. The picture is just beautiful, and I think you wrote to that very well. But the imagery in this is so, so bright and colorful, and I think your words came across very profound. I like it a lot. Good job, Deb.
Thank you, Linda.
And Rock and Tour.
I really feel
the ending where you talk about painting face, because that's a aspect of a mask that we didn't really touch on, you know, how you make someone else feel. It gives you that idea of, you know, and a smile on the face is such a wonderful metaphor for the mask that they wear. But the whole thing is gorgeous, you know, unfortunately relatable and very emotional. I enjoyed it, Deb.
Thank you,
and Lydia, your thoughts?
Well, I read this and I was very sad as I read it, and along with I don't know if I read too much into poetry sometimes or what, but I just feel that this is tremendously sad. And every verse has a line in it that leads to that, you know, to it's beautifully written, as you can do, Deb, for sure. You write beautiful poetry, but this is, to me, it's almost heartbreaking. I was very sad when I read this.
Thank you, Lady A.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is a sad poem about a lady hiding her emotions as she gets dressed to go out. Her mask is sad, and she wants to put on a good show, so she'll laugh when her eyes are weeping, and she'll sketch a smile on the front of her mask just to hide her feelings. It's almost borderline of depression. She's almost at a point of depression because she doesn't say what she's depressed about or mad about, sad about, but it's almost depressive the way she is. And she's trying her best, but she's having a rough time. Good poem, really good poem.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesomeness. And I have Phil on the board. Let me know when you see him. He's got a SoundCloud. You guys
Phil
got him?
Poet?
Phil the poet.
He said a SoundCloud. Oh, good.
I know. And a friend of mine once was like, oh, have you read the latest by Filthy Poet? I was like, who's Filthy Poet? So every time I see Phil the poet, I now like read it, Filthy Poet, and it cracks me up. So, I mean, no disrespect, Phil, but it's just funny. So, you guys see him?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Behind the Mask. Must hide my emotions behind the mask I've created. Chase them away like something I've castrated. No time for smiles or three little words. No rejoicing to the morning call of the birds. Make sure the creases are ironed out. Ignore the pain, the temptation to shout. Seal the scars, nothing must get through. Forget the past, the future is surely due. What features will hide behind your mask? To find out the truth is my only task. Will you dare let me take a look inside to see what you are so eager to hide? Is it a sin to reveal the person you're meant to be? Your sad eyes show me how much love you need. If only you learned how to think and not to follow. The lies are sweet, but the truth is hard to swallow. A crack appears in the mask as the light shines through. A glimpse of realization only seen by the few. Time to trample the masks in which we were, setting them on fire, if we would only dare. And
well, okay.
That was beautiful.
Right? I'm loving this. I am loving that he, to me, it reads in sections where it's, I must hide my emotions behind the mask I've created. And then it goes into, well, what features will hide behind your mask? And then it's all, you know, is it a sin to be who you are? And this transformation between this and the end, where it's time to trample the masks in which we wear, setting them on fire if we would only dare. It is a beautiful kind of these are my masks. I want to see behind your masks, and why can't we just be free? And I it's all very powerful. Each part of this is very powerful. I think you did such a great job. And Rack, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I it's kind of introspective. He looked at it from all the different angles, what you wear, what you see, what it brings out in you, and then he rejects the whole idea of it and says, let's get rid of it. It's a layered story to me. I really liked it, so.
And Wayne.
Yeah, I've been loving Phil's new SoundCloud he puts out. He put out a bunch of them so far. He's got his motion down pad in for him, and it's so much better when he reads them than they are when he does. I love to read them. He's doing a good job with his poems, and this is sad. He's talking about the sadness of a mask, and he did a great job of it. He did a really good job. But I love the way he reads his poems now. It's better than when he writes them. Great job.
That is awesome. And Liquid Damage, your thoughts?
Yeah, that was really nice. I could feel the some of the pain in there. The mask brings on about keeping us hidden from other people. But I think he did a great job on that. Thank you for sharing it.
And Lady A, your thoughts?
Yes, thank you. I thought that whole poem, I love his writing anyway, and I love this poem. He's, and to hear him read his own words just seemed to give more meaning to it somehow. I think you could hear the different inflections he was giving as he read. But the thing that jumped out on me in this poem was the second last verse, and the second line in the first line starts as, is it a sin to reveal the person you're meant to be? And your sad eyes show me how much love you need. That line just, I felt, was amazing. Because everybody wants to have someone to look at you and know what you need in some ways, not every aspect, but to look at somebody and know that they need your love and how much they need is, to me, I thought that line was brilliant. It's a, I don't know, it just really jumped out at me.
Oh, absolutely. And you got to love the lines that move you because those are the ones that kind of stick and linger. And now we have Hatter on the board. He wasn't able to call back in time. But if Lady A, you would read him for me, that would be awesome. Now, Hatter drew, this is a Hatter pick. He is an artist, so this he drew this picture, he sings the themes, I mean, he wrote the theme song, he writes all kinds of poetry. He's like a jack of all trades, a Renaissance man, so he's kind of awesome. So if you would read him for me, I would really appreciate it, Lady A.
Okay. This is called Is More Less by Jay Hatter. A mask is made to survive these days and to hide when others are there. Is more less or is less more? I don't know what mask to wear. My mask to work will always smile on the road. It's about the cruising style. But I will watch them all hit the floor as I approach my castle doors. Keep intact your poet mask. Tell them you are not you. You woke up feeling strange today. Make them call you Magoo. Pretend on that, screw the mask, just buy a hat. No pity parties, no tears to share. Check it all at the door, my friend. There's no soul here to bear. Please don't try to fix me. I do not have the time. Pour another pint for me. What you see is still all mine. It might sometimes seem you don't know what I meant. Just remember, please, that I am not broke, just a little bent.
Very good.
I love Hatter. You know, he plays things close to the vest. He's a very private guy. We were discussing this earlier on the show, if y'all want to go back and listen, how he, you know, you're a different person at work. You're true self when you get home, hopefully, whether you don't have to, there's no pretense, you just can just be. But he tends to, you know, not share. He doesn't want people to feel bad for him. He holds on to his stuff. And so his last two verses here really just, you know, spoke to me. Please don't try to fix me. I don't have the time. You know, what you see is all mine. Like it's And people have the right to not have to share all their business. And that's absolutely true. And just remember, please, I'm not broke, just a little bent, which means that to me, because, you know, I tend to interpret things a little sideways sometimes, that just because, you know, like just because I'm the way I am, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with me. It's just, you know, things, you know, my way of being is just a little more curvy than yours is all. And I love that. I love the acceptance in this. I love that, you know, you see that everybody plays these different parts and everybody has the right to be who they are and handle things the way they want to handle them. It doesn't mean that there's a right or wrong way. And I really love that kind of acceptance in there, especially that acceptance of self, because it's really hard to find. People tend to hate themselves in some kind of way. Self-loathing is a much bigger thing than there is ever a reason to be, because if we judge ourselves the way our friends and family see us, for the most part, because, you know, there's always, you know, the oddball that wants to then, you know, feed your self-loathing. But generally speaking, all the people that you keep around think you're amazing in some kind of way, and the only person who never sees it are ourselves. Like, you know, people will be, you know, you're great at this and you're wonderful and I don't know what I'd do without you, and yet it's easy to when you're all self-reflective to be like, yeah, but, you know, who the heck am I, and I don't get it, and you know, and it's sad, because It's an unfortunate truth that we are so much harder on ourselves than we ever need to be. And I'm the queen of self-loathing, so I am aware of the hypocrisy of my words, because I absolutely believe that we do ourselves a disservice and not believing the people we trust with everything else when they're talking about us. But I also, you know, I am that girl that looks in the mirror and sees the wrinkles and the things that I don't like and wish I can change and all that stuff, instead of just seeing the big picture, which is never anywhere near as bad as all the flaws, you know? So I love the acceptance, the self-acceptance in this. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And Liquid Damage, what are your thoughts on Hatter's poem?
You know what? I thought this was a wonderful poem. Hatter's got such a good sense of humor and a little bit twisted mind. You know, he throws those little twists in there. But I get what he feels about the mask. You know, when I get home or when I get to the car, it's off. And, you know, there's no, I wear it as least as I possibly can. Probably not good, but that's how I feel. And it disturbs my face. It disturbs me as a person. It disturbs my heart, you know, and that's how I feel. Hatter quoted that really well in his poem. So thank you, Hatter. Once again, you've amazed me.
Absolutely. And Lady A, you read the piece. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I think it's a fantastic piece. He lures you in with his rhythm and the words and the rhyme, and then he keeps you there mesmerized, but then it's, you know, there's two or three spots in here where he has a bit of a joke going on to make you laugh, you know, about Mr. Magoo and things like that. I like the mix-up with, because it's an unexpected surprise to me anyway. But I thought this piece was really great, and I liked the last verse, I think the best, the last two lines. But something you said when you started talking about being different than other people doesn't mean that you're the wrong way or the other person is the right way. I thought that was a really good way of expressing that differences of opinion doesn't necessarily always mean that somebody's right or wrong. I think that's what you meant by it, right?
Well, yeah. There's, you know, people tend to judge by what their own ideals are, even if they don't meet them themselves. And but people are who they are, and
So I don't see any kind of fault in that. Just because they aren't who we want them to be, or who may not be exactly who we thought they were, you know, none of that means that they are less than in some way at all. We just have to accept people as they are, for whatever that means. So yes, so there's I don't think people are wrong. I think, and here's my little theory on things. I think that everybody is perfectly who they are in whatever moment that is. And nobody is perfect. There is no perfect. There is no pristine anything. But even the ugly parts of our personality that we do our best to not let win, you know, all the time, they're there. And they are perfectly a part of who we are, whether we grow to try to change the parts of ourselves we don't like or accept them for what they are. So we are perfectly who we are. Even, you know, we have to accept how imperfect we are, because we're still us, and we are this big mix of all our experiences, and there's always much more good than there is bad. And we tend to focus on the wrong thing, i.e. those crow's feet and wrinkles and gray hairs and whatnot that I can't help but see. They detract from the beauty that is us. If we focus on the good over the things we wish we can change, I mean, even our outlook would be brighter. And sometimes that's enough to make a huge difference in our overall sense of being. Wayne, what are your thoughts on Hatter's poem?
I enjoyed the poem, but I got lost because I couldn't get the topic board. I couldn't find a poem with the topic board. And I still can't find his poem, so I've been pretty well lost trying to find it. And so I can't make a real good comment until I read it. I'm going to read it in a comment in a minute. I lost the topic board for 5-10 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
I wasn't back door to get there, and it still didn't take me there. So I finally got there, and I'm 2 hours behind. Shows I'm 2 hours
behind.
Oh, no. On the topic board.
You're looking for the topic board. I'm going to get a comment from Rack for Hatter. And then, Liquid Damage, did you have a poem on masks, or you just came to spend time with us and show some love?
I didn't get a chance to enter it, but I thought you were talking about masks, as in 2+2. But
no.
I was sitting here just now. I wrote this little thing. I was sitting here just now. So it's just called Mask.
Okay,
let Rat
comment on Hatter first, and then you can read your piece.
Okay.
But just keep in mind that we're a little bit over time. So happy to have you end our show with
that. This is only like 6 verses.
Okay, and so Rack, your comment on Hatter.
Four.
I like this Hatter. You remind us that one of the functions of a mask is to obscure something. It's kind of a modifier. You know, what you see isn't the whole picture all of the time. You know, less is more, and how much of a mask is being worn. All of that is kind of fluid. You know, people bring out different things in each other, and you touch on all of that in your poem in a very emotional way. I liked it a lot.
Awesome. And I'm going to have you close this out, Liquid Damage, but Wayne popped a brevity up on the board real quick, and we didn't get to read his earlier. So if he can read his brevity, and then you close us out with your poem, that would be wonderful.
Okay.
Awesome.
Cool.
Okay, Wayne, you're up. Wayne? Are you on mute, Wayne?
Okay, yeah, I wrote this about 3 years ago. It's a little brevity about a mask. And it goes like this. It's called, I Know You're In There. See you every day. Life can't be that bad. No longer shows feelings. Wearing a mask of sad. Put my arms around her. To where I care. Look deep into her eyes, pleading. Come out, I know you're in there. In.
Oh, see, I love that. There's a sweetness in that, whether it's a lover or a friend, where it's like, you know, I see you, and I'm sorry you're sad, but, you know, I love that. There's just a sweetness in that. It's lovely. And Rack, what are your thoughts on Wayne's brevity?
Yeah, very, very much embodies holding out your hand to someone and offering to help. It's a great poem about friendship.
Absolutely. And Lady A.
Yeah, very cute.
Sorry. I'm sorry about that. Are you asking me still about Hatter's poem?
No, about Wayne's Brevity that he just read.
Oh, I was totally distracted. I'm sorry. I didn't even hear it, Wayne.
It was so
feel free to leave him some love after the show. You're good. And so Liquid Damage, your thoughts on Wayne's piece, and then close us out.
Yes. Well, Wayne always writes such cute pieces, and I love that. It was very, very heartfelt. A very cool piece of work, Wayne. Very good.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm ready for
yours. Love your stuff.
And Wayne's
okay,
a piece of work.
I just wrote this in the last few minutes, so give me a break. It's called Mask. I talk my words, you may be here, but not my heart is that I fear. The mask holds back a lot of stuff. I try to speak, but it's not enough. A child smiles, mask or not, seems to get his point across. But your dear one, I cannot tell if your frown or smile well. So please, my dear, remember this. Behind my mask, I throw a kiss. In poem.
All right.
Oh, I love that. I do. The closing of that is just awesome. And I love how, you know, you throw the wonderful whimsy of kids in there, because they hide nothing. They are exactly in the moment
right.
at all times, and it's a wonderful, beautiful
mask or
thing.
Not. Right.
Yeah, and it is, and we lose that way too young sometimes, and it's just I love that you mentioned that, because it was just so vibrant and vivid, and the way you ended that behind your mask, whatever it is that you're showing, you know, there's still love there that doesn't change, and I love the idea of that. It's so beautiful. I am so glad you wrote that for us, and I'm so glad you came to join us twice, no less. So yay! And
yeah.
Lady A, your thoughts on Linda's poem?
Excuse me, Linda. You always do a terrific job with your poems. I love your stuff too, and this, you know, it doesn't surprise me in a sense that. You know, you do so well with your writing, and I think that this piece is, I'm just trying to pull it up here, sorry.
I don't think it's on the
yeah, it's not on the board.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not on the board.
No. It's brand new. It didn't get a time for it. She didn't get a chance to put it on there. We're all
okay,
what?
Anyway, it's a great job.
Sometime I'll read you the one I wrote about time. I'm sitting here writing a one about time. And you
about time.
No, math. Math. That's what it
math.
Is, math. And,
you know,
and
that
I,
might
then
be
I heard you say
I
math.
To do next month is something a little, you know, algorithm.
There we go.
Or something. There you go. And Wayne, your thoughts on
there,
look at Linda. Always writes stuff that's from her heart. She knows how to put the emotion in, because it's where she come from. And I thought it was a great little poem. And at the very end of it, I like to throw the kiss behind the mask. That is touching too. It's a very good poem. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I've been looking
Wayne.
For it forever. But you're welcome, Linda.
And Rack, your thoughts.
I when you read this, I pictured a woman sitting at her dressing table, putting her lipstick on to go out like she always does, and then cursing herself, remembering, now I got to put the mask on.
That's right.
But it was that beautiful thought behind that, you know, that act of I won't call it self-indulgence, but you know, just you know, making your outside feel like your inside. That came out in that. It was a nice little poem. Great brevity.
Thank you, darling.
You guys are awesome. I appreciate you. I appreciate the discussion we've had and all the different things we've touched upon tonight. I appreciate the poetry. It was powerful and beautiful, and all of them were different. And I can't wait to go back and comment on them, because I was impressed by them all. And you guys are fabulous. And thank you so much for sharing time. So with that, I will say good night, and I will see you guys next month, hopefully.
Yes.
Thank you, pretty bird.
Good night. Good night, guys.
Thank you.
Good night. Good night.